Hey everyone, it's the Kung Fu Genius, aka Alex Richter. And if you're listening to us on audio only, I'd appreciate you rating and reviewing the podcast wherever you listen to it. And of course, if you like what I do here, don't forget to subscribe to the Kung Fu Genius on YouTube and hit that bell for notifications. Are you a fan of Wing Chun Kung Fu? Well, if you listen to me, I assume you are. I got great news for Kung Fu Genius fans. Right now, you can get an all-access one-month free trial subscription to Wing Chun Illustrated Magazine. Yes, I said free. Go to WCINewsstand.com and register in the upper right-hand corner, fill in your email and password, and use the code KFGTRIAL to get your free trial to the issues from 2011 to the current issue. That's right, all the issues, even the one with this guy on the cover. My Kung Fu Genius column is in all the new issues, as if you need another reason to get this awesome magazine. Go get your free trial subscription today. For all that information, check out the description below. And with that, let's get started.
All right, peeps, on today's episode of the Kung Fu Genius, the genius will be answering all sorts of hot nonsense from YouTube. Lots of gems, lots of warring with Leung Ting, lots of, excuse me, Mr. Van Damme? Maybe next time. Let's get to it!
He is unstoppable, unbeatable, unbelievable. He's Alex Richter, the Kung Fu Genius.
And every day, I practice martial arts. What's up?
Word is, I'm a Kung Fu Genius. Practice all day like a genius.
Yo, Dre, how you doing, man?
Oh, Sifu, I'm Gucci.
Yeah, so here we are in the second episode of our second year, our new season. Wow. So super excited about that.
Wow.
We got another AMA, Ask Me Anything, not an MMA. We got an AMA
not an
today.
MMA.
All right.
Are you sure about that? Because you say MMA a lot.
Hey. Take it easy. All right. Okay, so let's get to it.
Let's get right into it. All right. First up, off the back, straight out the gate, we got G-Buck 101.
G-Buck. Uh-huh, G-Buck.
Like, he's from the G-Unit.
Uh-huh.
G-Buck.
It's not G-B-U-K, or is it? Like, he's not from the UK.
G-B-U-K.
Oh, okay, but you call him G-Buck.
It's all about getting those G-Bucks.
Yeah, it's like Lil Wayne's manager.
I love Bucks.
G-Buck. Drives a G-Wagon.
G-Wagon. All right. Great episode. I love when he said it all.
I love when they say that because I never know what episode they're talking about, right?
Me neither, but we know it's one of them.
It's one of them.
One of the 52.
Well, we take whatever compliment we can get.
Right. Let's be optimistic. Maybe it's all of them. Let's just go with that.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's very optimistic.
That is very optimistic.
Great episode.
Awesome. I'll take it.
Really liked the story about your Chinese name.
Damn, that's dope, man.
Oh, yeah. You know, White Haw.
Now we know which episode it is.
Yeah, now we know which episode it is.
In that story, you mentioned having a war with Leung Ting. What is the story behind that war?
Wow. Well, right from the beginning, we're not even getting warm
today.
Out
the gate.
Let's just go straight into political
into
nonsense.
The lava.
So,
let's jump right in it.
Well, I actually talked about this on an episode of Dudes of Kung Fu a long time ago.
Oh.
So this is old news. This is from 2016. And it is essentially the origin story of the Kung Fu Genius nickname, you know, for all those people out there. Well, he doesn't sound like a Kung Fu Genius. As I explained about two episodes ago, it's kind of a joke, guys. Take it easy, all right? So anyway, but I like it. KFG, Kung Fu Genius, it's a fun nickname, right?
It's catchy.
It's catchy, right?
Has a ring, has a flow.
Absolutely.
Rolls right off the
plus
tongue.
Plus, I have a rap song now, so I have to
you
use
got
it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
After Kes the MC wrote the rap song Kung Fu Genius, there's no turning back now.
I heard you had to come out on stage when he was performing it recently.
What? This sounds like fake
at
news.
At Marquee.
What are you talking about?
He was performing at a Marquee.
I never go to clubs. What are you talking about? You're giving people the wrong impression
Kes
of me,
was
right?
On stage.
It absolutely happened. I was there.
I wanted to be there. To be there, but I had to go straight home. And
got it. So, so I mentioned kind of briefly that I had like a bit of a war, a bit of a back and forth with Sifu Leung Ting and Apple Daily. That was 2016. And that kind of became the genesis of the Kung Fu Genius nickname. And for like longtime listeners who heard about it on Dudes of Kung Fu, I apologize, it's kind of an old story. And I think when I actually talked about it on Dudes of Kung Fu, like when it happened, I was a little bit more emotional about it because it had just kind of happened. And now we are looking at it like some, you know, 6 years later. so I can look at it with a little bit more perspective. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not the math genius, but I can figure out 6 years. So
you didn't even need the fingers.
No, I didn't even need the fingers. Right, I was doing it in my head. I was using counters in my head. Right. So basically, what happened is Apple Daily, which is a Hong Kong newspaper, they're now defunct because
no relation to Apple.
Apple bottom jeans? No, no relation to Apple bottom jeans. But Apple Daily, is now a defunct magazine because
Because
they were like one of the big tabloid newspapers of Hong Kong, so something a little bit more, let's say, like the New York Post type thing. So a little bit, it's like gossipy, sensationalist news. And China now has cracked down on newspapers that don't say nice things about China. Mm-hmm. So Apple Daily,
supermarket news.
So Apple Daily, go bye bye.
Oh no!
Because you know, Big Brother China didn't like some things that were said about you know. Well, it's just strange, you know. Big Brother China is so strong and so powerful, but don't say anything bad about them because they will shut you down. It's not really a point of strength, in my opinion. If you can't handle people saying things about you. So, but anyway, I digest or digress. I was in Apple Daily, and one of the reporters there from Apple Daily is a good friend of mine. He's here in New York. They had a New York office. And I'd been in Apple Daily before every now and again. They, you know, they would do like a puff piece, even though they're a bit of a gossipy newspaper, but they would also just do like puff pieces like, hey, look at this white guy who teaches Kung Fu in New York. Isn't that funny, right? And also at the beginning of the pandemic, I was interviewed for Apple Daily. That was a video interview right at the beginning when we started teaching on Zoom and everything like that. So there's like a video of me talking about how we had pivoted to do all like the online classes and stuff like that. And and as of last year.
Very innovative in that
respect. Yeah, I mean, now everyone is doing it, but I think I was one of the first to kind of jump on that.
Yeah.
And so this was around 2016. They interviewed me. I don't even think it was a video interview. I think it was just like a regular text article, like, you know, just a normal newspaper article. And, you know, they came here and they interviewed me and talked about how I've been teaching Wing Chun for many years and so on and so forth. And oddly enough, the thing that started the whole, I'm not going to say war because it was just kind of a back and forth and I won very easily, so it's not much of a war, was one offhanded comment that I said in the article. And what's interesting is, and I can see it like in our YouTube comments, because every now and again we'll do a, we'll pick a topic that people get a little pissy about, like Dim Mak or something like that. And there are like a couple, people in the comments that get so triggered and have to just have like this verbal diarrhea, which I'll never read, by the way. And it's just funny, like you can see what is the point that gets them upset.
Or mindfulness.
Yeah, right, or something like that, right? Yeah. And, oddly enough, it's always those, like, peaceful topics of, like, the use of mindfulness in martial arts or the effectiveness of Tai Chi. It's always these things that are kind of, like, soft and yielding that trigger people the most. Oh, you know what I mean? It's very funny, all right?
That doughiness.
They're very, very much unlike the topics they are espousing to push in their martial arts. They're very un-Daoist when they get upset like that. So anyway, one of the questions was, what is the difference? What did I feel was the difference between, let's say, Chinese seafoods and Western seafoods, right? And so I wrote that, well, for the most part, a lot of Chinese seafoods don't view themselves as a service provider. And those were the, like, service provider were the exact words, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they view themselves more as, like, a kind of a keeper of the gate. And almost you have to, like, jump through all these hoops to be able to learn all this stuff behind the gate that they're guarding, right? Whereas in a more Western sense, if someone comes to your school, maybe some people could say it's more transactional because they're paying you and it's business and people are like, oh, that's not the real heart of martial arts. I get it. But also if someone pays me to learn martial arts, then there's an expectation that I'm going to teach them and I'm going to try to do a good job and maybe even like give good customer service or something like that and maybe not yell and scold at my students or ignore them as is sometimes done in very traditional martial arts schools. But I said that as a very general statement. And as a matter of fact, when he asked me that, that the reference to that was not Sifu Leung Ting at all, because to be fair to Sifu Leung Ting, which is not always easy to do, he's really not that way. If anyone understood that martial arts or Wing Chun could be run as a business, he definitely understands that, right? And definitely understands to a certain degree that a martial arts instructor has to be some kind of a service provider, even if that doesn't necessarily fit in the very traditional Chinese model, right?
Okay.
But when the reporter asked me that question, that was a general statement. I was not actually talking or referencing Sifu Langteng at all. I was just saying, you know, like, as you know, when you walk into some Chinese Kung Fu schools in Hong Kong, it's like you walk in and no one looks at you and no one really cares. And then maybe you get someone to talk to you. And then if you join, it's maybe not even that much better from when you first walked in, right? So it's a very different vibe, right? And that's all I said. And that was like one question of a number of questions, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the article came out and I didn't think much of it. And then the reporter emails me a week later and he says, Sifu Langteng has written this scathing statement about me in Apple. Like he wrote a statement to Apple Daily, right? And a statement like to them, like, you know, basically trying to refute the things that I said in the article, right? Which is very funny because that is the old school version of someone triggered in the comments. Like getting so upset. First of all, Sifu Langteng, in my time with him, he was always giving me the advice of, you know, if you have a problem with someone, you shouldn't draw attention to them, right? Like by going out and calling someone out or by causing a problem with this person, like especially in public, you're also giving that person more publicity, right? These were things that he taught me.
Yeah.
But he always falls victim. Like he cannot follow his own advice. He's always kind of done this, right? And so there he is, like now suddenly taking aim. And the main thing he took aim at was the line about, I thought Chinese martial arts instructors don't view themselves as service providers, which ironically enough was not aimed at all towards him.
Yeah.
But the fact that he got triggered by that tells you something, right? So maybe he feels, you know, that way and doesn't like being called out, but I was not calling him out. So he wrote this crazy statement saying something. Well, actually, he didn't write it. His assistant, Robin, wrote it, all right? Because Sifu Langteng, like, he wants to call people out, but he never wants to do it himself.
Mm.
He always, like, he's even told this to me in emails. He calls these people around him useful idiots. So what he does is he writes this statement, but he has, like, Robin sign it, all right?
So Robin left Howard Stern and went to Langteng.
No, not that Robin. Robin is his assistant in Hong Kong, all right?
Okay.
So Robin is like his Dre, okay?
All right? Nifko.
Yeah, the only difference is I would if I had something to say about someone, I wouldn't write a statement and then have you sign it.
Yeah.
And then you get the heat for it, right? You know what I mean? Like that, but that's what Sifu Langteng does, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the statement was that, like, I had only learned Wing Chun for 1 week from Sifu Langteng. Like magically, all right? And also, and even said stuff that was so childish in the statement, like, who cares about his City Wing Chun Athletic Association? He even wrote that. Like who? Who cares? Like, who, like, which is like, well, thanks for spelling the name of my association in your statement, right? You know, like they say, there's no bad press.
Publicity.
Just make sure they spell your name right, right? So he said all this stuff and it was really funny. And then the reporter asked me, he goes, do you have a counter to this statement? And I thought it was absolutely hysterical because first of all, I know what he's doing because he's told me this before. He seems to forget, like, I've spent time with him. I've seen him use this tactic on other people.
Yeah.
And I've heard him explain what he's doing. And then he thinks I'm going to take the bait on this stuff. It's like, dude, you told me what you're doing and I see you doing it.
And you
right?
told me what to do in this case.
Exactly.
Too.
Right. And so what he's trying to do is he wants me to become defensive because when you become defensive, it looks like you're hiding something. Right. But the problem is that he did it in a very stupid way.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sifu Langteng doesn't really understand how the internet works, which I've explained when I had to order that hairspray thing for him or whatever. Like, he cannot even order something online. If you gave him a mobile phone and you were logged into your Amazon and you told him to order toilet tissue, he would not be able to do it, right? Okay. But he also doesn't understand how the internet works because when I left his association, which was 2011, he sent an email to all of his instructors to remove any links on their website to mine. All right. Or remove any mention about Sifu Alex Richter on their websites. Right. And in his mind, he thinks that has erased me from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like he thinks that his association doesn't mention me anymore. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Which he doesn't realize. Like, at last time I checked, it's actually a bunch of photos of me on their Hong Kong website, which they haven't gotten rid of, which is very funny. So anyway, but he thinks that by telling all the instructors in the U.S. to remove any mention of me, he has literally scrubbed me from the internet, because he doesn't understand how the internet works, right? He doesn't understand, first of all, how many other websites outside of his association have referenced the time I was in his association, the interviews and all the other things that we've done, right? And also the sheer number of photos and the time that I spent with him and everything, like it's ridiculous, right? Yeah. And so the reporter is like, how do you want to respond to this, right? And I just laughed to him on the phone, you know? And then I said, oh, I'll put this in an email. And I just laughed to him. I said, look, all right, why would he say that I learned for 1 week? Why didn't he just say I learned for 3 days, right?
Yeah.
If I could learn all this Wing Chun for him in 1 week, then I'd be a kung fu genius. That was what I said. And they printed that in the article, right? And then after that, the reporter said, hey, Kung Fu Genius, we put that in there for you. And then a couple of my friends in Hong Kong saw it and said, hey, Kung Fu Genius, that was really funny what you wrote there.
Right.
And then I said it like, you know, because Kung Fu Genius, first of all, it's the name of an old Kung Fu movie, but
yeah.
Kung Fu Tin Chai is a saying for someone who's just like bestowed from heaven. Because in Chinese, when you translate Kung Fu Genius, the term genius, if you look at the two characters, it almost means like a talent from heaven.
Mm.
All right? And so it's a very lofty term. Like Bruce Lee is considered a Kung Fu genius. Or if you watch Kung Fu Hustle, Stephen Chow's character,
yeah,
he's a Kung
Fu
genius. Yeah,
I was just thinking about
Stephen. They even call him that. Like, oh, he's got the bone structure of a Kung Fu genius, right?
Right?
So I use it as a joke, like, oh, I must be a Kung Fu genius if I learned all that stuff in 1 week from him, right? And then after that, people had read it in Hong Kong, and a bunch of my friends started calling me that as a joke, and then it just stuck.
Oh, right? Man. Dope. You were sent from heaven.
That's right.
To do
so,
this podcast.
So the thing is that it made him look really stupid
because,
first of all, everyone knows I was his representative for over 9 years here in New York, right? And he came to New York every year, sometimes multiple times a year. I went to Hong Kong. I was in press with him in Hungary. I'm in articles with him. I'm in his Chinese books. And there's just like this, all this photo record of him and me learning from him for so many years. But he thinks he can just say, oh, I only taught him for 1 week, because he's, you know, when people were like cool very early on in their life and they can never let it go, you know, like someone who still has the same hairstyle they had when they were in high school, because that's when they peaked in popularity, right?
Yeah.
Well, Sifu Liang Tang, his advantage over many of the other Sifus in Hong Kong, one of his advantages was that he had his own publishing company, so he could publish books and he can do all sorts of stuff.
That's genius.
He used his books to a certain degree as a bit of a propaganda machine against some of the people that he didn't like, especially like William Cheung or some other Wing Chun Sifus that he was not particularly fond of, right? Because maybe they didn't have books or they didn't have the reach that he did. So he could write these books and then he could have some things planted in those books that were kind of like little nuke bombs to his opponents, right? Because first of all, there was no internet there. So if something was out in a book, it's in black and white. That's a big deal, right? So he still thinks that he can just say something, that thing will go out there and everyone's going to accept it because he controls the media. But he doesn't realize that after the internet, he doesn't control anything anymore. He cannot control his image anymore. He cannot control anything, right? But he still thinks he can say stuff like, oh, he only learned from me for 1 week, because he thinks I've been scrubbed from the internet because he told his schools to take me off. He literally doesn't understand how this works. He doesn't understand how this works.
Man.
So when that happened, I thought it was really funny. The article came out. My friends started calling me Kung Fu Genius.
Yeah.
And then that kind of became the birth of that, right?
Like, but then wildflyer.
I got a little, like, at first I kind of laughed it off. I thought it was kind of funny. And then I started to get pissed. I started to get really pissed off.
Mm.
Not because of him trying to make me look bad or whatever, but because he's done this to so many people.
Mm.
And I realized that I think I need to say something about that. Not because he did it to me. Maybe him doing it to me was the catalyst to get me to speak about it. But I realized that he had done it to so many people. And at some point, like,
yeah,
someone,
you know, personally,
yeah,
too.
Someone needs to call him out on this. So I wrote, I don't know if you remember, I wrote this epic long blog post. I also have a website, sifualexrichter.com, which I just use now for getting private students. But I used to have a blog on there.
Mm-hmm.
It was an epic long blog post with photos and all sorts of stuff, like really just like explaining the kind of history of these kind of things, right? And I posted it on Facebook, and the thing got like 20,000 views. So he didn't realize, like, no one read his stupid retort in Apple Daily, right? In fact, damn. I think where he even kind of messed up, because the Apple Daily article was in the Hong Kong one, and he sent his statement to like the one in Taiwan, to like the Taiwan branch. So like he just kept stepping on his own feet on this thing, like just really looking like a straight clown, right? And so I thought, well, you know what? He's done this to so many people. Like, Sifu Lengting on one hand wants to boast that, you know, he has an organized teaching system and he has a structured ranking system, and that through that organized teaching system and ranking system, he has a high level of quality, and that there's some kind of consistent quality among all of his branches, and that if you're a such and such level or you're a Sifu under him or blah, 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 that stands for a benchmark of quality, right? But the moment that person leaves his association or gets kicked out, suddenly, that person sucked at Wing Chun, didn't know anything, was not really qualified, didn't really receive their ranks or whatever, right? And he did that consistently. And so it was kind of like, look, if you have a big association and one of your top guys leaves, yeah, you're not going to go and sing that person's praises maybe if they go and start their own association. But to then go out of your way and start to say that person wasn't really qualified to begin with, he doesn't realize, he makes himself look bad. When someone who is high ranked in his association, all right, and mind you, I was not super high ranked in his association. He's done this to people way higher and way more senior than me. And they left his association, most notably Sifu Cheng Chun Fun, who was like his partner since the 60s, all right? Sifu Cheng was in all of his books, and Sifu Cheng was there. Sifu Cheng was literally his most loyal guy.
Is this the guy from that demo I like? In your Sifu school?
No. Sifu Cheng is much more. That was Alan Fong. Sifu Cheng is much more senior than Alan Fong.
Gotcha.
And so what does he do? When Sifu Cheng does his own thing, he starts talking all sorts of shit about him. I was there and heard him talk shit about him in Hong Kong, and removes him from the books. You know, he does this kind of like very Orwellian 1984 thing where, if you know, they always joke the kiss of death with your relationship with Sifu Lengting is if you're on a cover of a book with him. If you're ever on the cover of a book or the cover of a magazine with him, dollars to donuts, you will be kicked out or leave his association at some point.
Oh.
And then you know what he has to do? He has to change the cover again. He's changed the cover of Dynamic Wing Chun so many times at this point, it's comical. The original cover had Tam Hung Fun on it.
Oh God.
Tam Hung Fun leaves. He's got to change it. He puts An Da Yi and Yuan Kai Guang on the cover.
Uh-huh.
They both leave. He's got to change the cover again. He puts Leung Kwa Hwa on the cover. Leung Kwa Hwa leaves. He's got to change the cover again. All right? It's like, yo, just put yourself on the cover next time, all right? Although at some point I can imagine Sifu Lengting might quit his own association and have to change the cover, right? So he'd just be like, I'm done with this shit, all right? And then he'll have to change the cover, right?
Yeah.
So what I did is I wrote this epic long blog post where I basically, I defended my case a little bit because I was a little upset about that he had done it.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, well, why don't I just kind of expose what he does to other people. Mm-hmm. And then I talked a little bit about it, like, you know, like him trying to disqualify people who left his association, right?
All right, you're a bit salty.
Like, yeah. Saying, oh, this person doesn't know anything. And then I brought up the Fight Quest thing, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, for all of his, like, oh, Alex, you know, suddenly, all right, I was his boy for a while when I was there, and then suddenly I'm not. And suddenly I only learned for 1 week. And then what I did is I just released a bunch of emails that he had sent me. And I said, oh, okay, well, funny, I only learned for 1 week because when we were having Fight Quest and you needed an Asian fighter to fight Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't find any in Hong Kong. And Robin, the guy who wrote the statement, he was too chicken to fight himself. He was too chicken.
Aye, aye, aye.
All right? So I had to go and see if one of my Korean students back in New York would fly to Hong Kong to fight, because at least he was Asian, right? So it was like, did you not forget all this stuff? Like, yeah, I was
obviously email.
I was obviously qualified enough to train up Asian fighters who could fight in Hong Kong when you didn't have any, right? Mm. So, but then the rest of my blog post, I was talking about how he had done this to Tam Hung Fun, how he had done it to Sifu Cheng Jun Fun, how he had done it to many, many other people far more senior than me. You know, suddenly they leave his association, which, look, it happens. If you have an association for a long time, yeah, sometimes your top guys leave. You have a disagreement. They go and do their own thing, whatever, right? But you don't have to go out of your way to disqualify them, because then what he doesn't realize is that he destroys his own ranking system. If every single high-ranking person who left or was kicked out of your association suddenly is a know-nothing, suddenly is a didn't really earn their rank,
damn,
then what does that say about ranking in your system?
Damn, dude.
Right? If someone can be a grandmaster or, let's say, a very high-ranking master in your association, and then that person leaves and you go, oh, they don't know anything. Well, why did you give them that rank? All right? Like, he doesn't realize he's literally destroying and devaluing his own ranking system by doing that. So I had this epic long blog post. People loved it. It got so many views. And occasionally people ask me, hey, where is that thing? And I'll tell you, when we updated the website, the cfilexrichter.com, it accidentally got deleted.
Hey, and it's not on Facebook anymore.
It wasn't on Facebook. It was on my website.
Right.
Facebook had the link to the...
Yeah, the link.
So it had a lot of photos. It literally went... Oh. But you know what? It had something, I think, at the end, like 60 to 70,000 views. And it even got translated into German.
Someone volunteered out of their way,
to translate it in German. And it got all translated in German.
Wow.
So that the German practitioners could also kind of read and see these things. So
the German translation is still out there.
No. I had the German translation on the website. Someone literally sent it to me. So I had both of them on my website. Unfortunately, it kind of went poof. But it was okay, because after it was on there for about a year.
Where it is.
No, it's gone.
It's in the cloud.
It's nowhere. It's gone. It's poof. All right? After about a year, year and a half, it served its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually kind of glad it's gone. Because let's move forward, man. Who cares, right? So that's the whole war thing, all right? And then he never said anything about that. And then the addendum to that story, that happened in 2016. And he ended up looking kind of silly after that whole thing, because a number of Sifus also kind of vouched for me in Hong Kong. And they kind of he looked very silly. And a year later, I was at a big party for Wan Kam Leung in Hong Kong with Antonio.
Yes. Yes.
And Siva Leung Ting was in a table.
Is this
table
the one, next same, not with Johnny Gill?
No. This is in Hong Kong. This is in Hong Kong. And so he was sitting in the table next to me, and he saw me and just turned his head and looked the other way the whole time, just pretended I didn't exist, right?
Oh, man.
So that was the end of that.
Damn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know, he still loves you, though.
Doubtful. He doesn't really love anyone.
Oh, no. If
you saw how he talks to the people who he's closest to, you'd realize I don't really think he loves anyone. All right, next.
All right, moving right along. Thank you, G-Bucks.
G-Bucks.
Next up.
G-B-U-K.
My G. Next up, we got Awesome Bruce Wayne.
Awesome.
From DC Comics. I'd like to hear more stories about anyone you met that really impressed you with their skill, speed, or power. Not Leung Ting. Was there anyone in particular who had a really powerful punch or kick? Have you done Chi Sao with anyone that really impressed you? Triad stories are always entertaining. I would also love an entire episode on your top 5 or top 10 martial arts films. Thank you for the great content.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Wayne. For the Kung Fu movie thing.
You know, he's Batman, just so you...
Hey, you're not supposed to say
that. Oh, wait, my bad.
Spoiler.
My bad.
Take it easy, man. Take it easy. All right?
My bad.
Yeah.
My bad.
So,
This info just came across
in terms of the Kung Fu movie stuff, I don't know how much of the Kung Fu movie stuff I'm going to do, because all those episodes seem to kind of tank. Anytime I talk about Kung Fu movies, it's like... we get a third of the views.
Mm.
The Vincent Lin, Bobby Samuels, even the Ninja one. For some reason, maybe it's because it's not what people come to my channel
maybe
for.
Maybe they want the commentary.
Yeah, maybe. I could do something for the Patreon supporters or do something like that. But for the normal podcast episodes, man, those things get a third of the views of the normal episodes, right? Mm. And the problem is, it's not like I make a living from doing YouTube, but I would like my YouTube channel to, like, make more than 80 cents a month. You know what I mean? And so the problem is when you have a video that just does really poorly, mm-hmm. your next video is already starting at a deficit. Because YouTube is very... We didn't like your last video. I'm not so sure the next one's going to do good either.
Unforgiving.
Right? So they're very unforgiving, right? When you're on a roll, like a bunch of our AMAs, where each one was getting more and more and more views, and then like the Vincent Lin episode came out, and then the next AMA that came out after that, which was a really good one, was like... So that's the problem. So like anytime I do a movie one, all right, or Hong Kong action star, that video tanks, and it like my next three videos, my next three episodes after that, like a all rebuilding. Suffer. Yeah, I got to rebuild again before it comes back up. So maybe
what an algorithm.
You know, for the second year of Kung Fu Genius, I think we're gonna have the long form podcast episodes.
Yeah.
But I also want to do shorter video content, like 5 to 10 minute videos on different topics, reaction videos, stuff that's not the full podcast format. Mm-hmm. And then so maybe for those videos, I can do some of that stuff. But in the podcast format, it's just crickets every time I do something like that, right? So, all right. So the other question was anyone who had really impressed me?
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of people. As I mentioned before, I think Sifu Li Tinloy from Southern Mantis, one of the strongest, one of the most powerful Chinese martial art practitioners I'd ever met. He impresses the hell out of me. Mak Sifu's skill and knowledge impresses me quite a bit. In terms of Qi Sao, I mean, a lot of the guys that I've learned from are very impressive. Like, I don't know, the question always seems like, you know, who's the one guy who's like can just obliterate you and then say his names because I'm, you know, like that's the guy or whatever, right? And
guy so I want to learn from.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird question because most of the people you learn from should be able to impress you with their skill. Otherwise, why you're learning from them? Of course, at some point, if someone is really old, they can still teach you even if they're not physically impressive anymore. Yeah, I mean, there are lots of guys out there who are really good. The question is, can this person teach you?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because there can be someone who's extremely skillful and extremely powerful, and they couldn't explain math to an accountant. You know what I mean? And so then what is the relative value of that person's skill, right? So I think they're interesting questions because everyone, it's always the old West who's the fastest gunslinger.
Mm.
But when you start doing, when you've been doing martial arts as long as I have, it's just like, who can make you better? That's really all you care about. And that's not always necessarily the guy with the fastest gun. All right. It's the person who can offer some insight and do something with the experience they've accumulated. Right. But Sifu Li Tinloy is definitely one of the most impressive in my opinion.
How so?
His power. He's just so powerful.
Mm.
Yeah. And no nonsense. Yeah. Solid.
Yeah.
And it's like very non-imposing kind of person. If you saw him walking on the street, you would not think this person was the badass that he is. Yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
Cool.
I gotta meet this.
Yeah, maybe on a future trip to Hong Kong when they let us dirty foreigners in. Everyone's like, yo, when you come into Hong Kong, it's like, did you? Yeah,
we're so dirty.
No one can go to Hong Kong now. What are you talking about?
No,
right? No one.
Ain't happening.
All right.
Ain't
they take it personally. Like, oh, how come you haven't been to Hong Kong in a while? It's like, if you notice there's a pandemic and Hong Kong doesn't let any foreigners in, like, I'm a foreigner.
Love being a foreigner.
Yeah, in case you didn't know.
I'm not, because I'm English.
That's right. Yeah.
No, you are now. They booted you guys out a few years ago.
Was
that, 97?
97. All right, let's go. Next question.
All right, next up, we got Harold Tan.
Harold Tan.
Or awesome. Tan.
Okay.
All right. Tan Sao. All right, hello, sir. Absolutely loving the content. I would like to ask if you have had any experiences, exchanges with non-Yip Man lineages out there. What were they like and how have they shaped your views on WC now? Thanks.
I think the lineage I've had the most exposure to that's outside of the Yip Man family is probably Jim Rosalando.
Yeah,
I did a session with him out in Boston where he showed me their drills and everything, and then he also taught here at our 15-year anniversary.
I remember.
So I've had a chance to exchange with him a little bit and compare notes very, very early on in my Wing Chun career, even before I did WT. I did Chi Sao with some Yun Kei San Wing Chun guys out in Washington State.
Okay.
Well, it was in it was when I was living in Washington State, but it actually happened in Canada. And that was interesting, but I was also very green at that time. So I don't
know.
That
was your early days.
I don't know how much I would. I mean, and this is no knock on Yun Kei San Wing Chun, but I was 18. It didn't blow my socks off, but I was also an aggressive prick when I was 18 years old. So, you know, maybe if I could go back now, I would have had the chance to see something and learn something, but I was kind of a dick back then.
Right.
So that is about it. And yeah, it's important to have kind of an open view about what other people are doing and to kind of see if there are things outside of our wheelhouse, outside of our box that can improve us. But I also think sometimes that's also a little bit of a trap, because no matter how good you are at something, you're always going to feel, yeah, there are things that can be better. There are things you can do better. There are things that you can improve. You should feel that way. If you don't feel that way, you're probably full of yourself, right?
Ouch.
And the problem is, a lot of times people think that that little bit of dissatisfaction you feel with your current level of skill or your speed or whatever is because you're not doing something totally different.
Hmm.
So people are still always looking for a quick fix. And sometimes they think that quick fix is in another lineage, all right? Not realizing that people from that lineage who've put in all the time and all the sweat equity and are really good at that lineage probably still have some things where they're like, could be a little better at this, not so sure about this.
Mm.
Because you always have these things. If you are a analytical person who trains martial arts in an honest way, if you think you have all the answers, if you think what you do is perfect, then you probably have a lack of exposure to things, to the real world, I should say. All right. So the problem is that everyone thinks like, oh, okay, if there's a limitation in my Wing Chun, because I need to learn that other Wing Chun style, instead of how about you just maybe start pressure testing what you're learning and you figure out a way to modify it better for your body type, or you figure out a new way of using it, or not thinking that, okay, I need to now learn completely new forms, a new stance, a new way of holding my arm in this position, a totally different way of training Chi Sao, as if somehow that's going to actually make you better at what you learned before, instead of you just starting again from the beginning at something new. and now you're going to have to go through all of that only at the end to find out that you're still going to have doubts when you finish that style.
Damn.
Right? And so that's the trap I think people have when it comes to thinking that all the secrets are in other lineages. I'm very open about that kind of stuff, but I also think there are people out there who are like lineage and certificate collectors.
Mm.
And it almost seems like the more they seek in the different lineages and the more certificates they collect, the less sure they are about anything.
Damn. Right? The answer is what you haven't learned
and
yet.
And I don't mean that they're less sure in that scientific way, all right? Like they always say, there's a saying that I like, which is like, dumb people are full of confidence, but smart people are full of doubt. All right? So I'm not talking about that, all right? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying like, they learn this lineage and they think that that's going to solve all their problems, only to find out, but that lineage has these things that I don't know about. Let me go over there and do that. Damn. Only to find out that lineage doesn't have this, but the other one has that. And then it's almost just like switching, trying to find a Netflix program on Netflix.
Technique
when you just don't know what the hell you're watching.
Damn. Right?
And then there's a very unserious way of studying something and learning its intrinsic value, as opposed to just, let me just copy this style superficially and hope that it solves my problems. Oh, it didn't. Let me go copy another style superficially and hope that solves my problems, right? So I find that they kind of end up chasing their own tail when they do too much of that.
Hmm. Damn.
All right, next question.
I love sweat equity.
Sweat equity, I like that too. I like that phrase.
Whoever came up with that is dope.
Yes.
All right, Axel Stone.
Axel Stone.
Axel Stone is in the building. Man, how about getting Stallone on the show? That would be pretty awesome. I know he's big time, but you never know.
I wanted to clarify which Stallone to begin with.
He's talking about Frank Stallone?
Frank Stallone.
Or maybe Sybil Stallone.
We might be able to get Frank Stallone.
Frank Stallone is
I think the Kung Fu Genius is at the level to get Frank Stallone.
I hear he's at Times Square pretty often.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's in the Mickey Mouse suit, right? No, I mean, well, look. All right.
Port Authority chilling.
I'm just the pretty face of the Kung Fu Genius.
Yeah.
You guys are the producers and the people who put everything together.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to get Stallone, Frank, I assume.
Yeah.
That's on you guys, right?
I know.
Yeah.
We'll just have. I'm working on something. Yeah. We'll see.
We'll just have our peeps call his peeps, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Can you imagine calling Sylvester Stallone's agent and being like, "We want you to be on the Kung Fu Genius, but the Kung Fu what? The Kung Fu Genius podcast. Where are you guys on YouTube? Oh, you have 5,000 subscribers. Yeah, let's get him on there right away.
Why do you want me on the show?
No joke. You would be surprised. I have an ex-girlfriend who has a podcast.
I am surprised you have an ex-girlfriend.
Hey! Well, she actually, shameless plug, I wish I could tell the name of it, but she actually has a podcast where about
She had Stallone
Moon.
On?
No, she did not have Stallone on, but Sailor Moon fans.
Oh.
And like, she's, you know, a few subscribers, probably no more than, maybe a few more than us. She gets like legit pop stars come on to discuss their experience with loving Sailor Moon.
Mm.
You know who Sailor Moon is, right?
Yes,
you
yes.
know what I mean?
So yes, like, I have a few costumes at home.
Well, me too, actually. I need to borrow yours. No,
you won't fit in mine, let's be honest.
But, like, seriously, I mean, if we had there was enough of a star that you could actually argue, say, legitimately was into Kung Fu,
uh-huh. right.
I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility.
Yes.
Yeah, but but it's not Sylvester Stallone.
Maybe
I'll
we
tell
should
you
get
that.
More.
Maybe Dolph Lundgren.
Maybe yes. Morton Downey Jr. I mean, Robert Downey Jr.
I was going to say, who's Morton Downey Jr.?
First of all, Morton Downey Jr. is dead.
Oh, damn.
All right?
Nice.
Robert Downey Jr., yeah. Maybe someone who trimmed Robert Downey Jr.'s hedges once, maybe.
Yeah, once.
All right, next question.
Oh, man. Damn. Good luck. Good luck with that, man.
Yeah, we'll get right to it.
All right.
Hey, Kung Fu Genius listeners, if you're a Wing Chun practitioner, especially from the WT or Leung-Ting line, and want to get really personalized immersion training with me, you can now apply to do an immersion course with me here in NYC, or if you like the sun, in my Florida home near Orlando. These courses are for instructors or anyone who's serious about learning the art in detail and working hard. I teach in program blocks like Siunam Tao, Chum Q, Byuji, Wooden Dummy, and those include the Chi Sao theory, fighting applications, and training methods as well. If you're really serious about learning Wing Chun, check out the link in the description below to find out about applying for a spot. For those of you who are not quite ready to do full private immersion training, you can also apply for a spot at either our winter or summer intensive training camps. We have a few spots available for non-city Wing Chun students, so apply today. A link for those options are in the description below. And now back to me.
All right, next up we got JP Steve's Han.
I remember this guy commented last night. He had written in the comments how to properly pronounce his name.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Steve's Han.
There you go.
Maybe.
I'm sure that's exactly what it's supposed to be.
All right, KFG. Another question for your next Q&A session. What's your opinion on Michael J. White commenting that he could beat Bruce Lee? And do you think the public backlash he received was justified?
So
your face with that one.
So first of all, this Michael J. White stuff, this is old news. This is super old news, right?
It's like three years, right?
Talking about it's like talking about my war with Sifu Leung-Ting at the top of the episode, right? Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about topical stuff. Let's go back to 2016.
I mean, this is what people
So
love.
The Michael J. White thing was very ill advised.
Size matters.
Yeah. But it was very ill advised, all right? Because first of all, it came off really kind of macho-y and bullshit on his part. Well, you know, actually, I'm much bigger, and maybe all of that is true. Okay,
the answer was so fast, but
it's like, you know, well, I'm bigger, and you know, his size and all this stuff, and maybe all of that is true. But did he expect to win friends? People go, oh yeah, well, it actually is true. Isn't that great? Like our beloved icon of martial arts. Yeah, Michael J. White, you know, he could definitely probably beat him. Yeah, that makes sense. That's very logical. I'm okay with that. All right? Look, people are going to react emotionally to this stuff. All right? You know what I mean? Like, they asked Michael J. White, all right, do you think you could have beaten Bruce Lee? All right? Some 50 years after Bruce Lee's death. All right? 50 years from now, there's going to be some up-and-coming martial arts action star.
Mm.
And they're going to be like, so, do you think you could have beaten Michael J. White? And he's going to go, Michael Jai who? But in 50 years from now, they'll still ask about Bruce Lee.
Damn, dude.
So that's what I got to say about that.
Damn.
Ill-advised, all right? Look, whenever you're like, yo, I could totally have... Whenever you talk about hypothetical beatdowns,
with people who are either dead or gone or no longer in their prime. Like, yeah, I could have beaten Muhammad Ali back in the, or I could have beaten Bruce Lee, or yeah, I could have beaten Benny the Jet or Akita. It's like, on what, in what situation, Dre, do you ever come off looking cool after saying that? Like, what dude is like, you know, you're there, you're surrounded by a bunch of fans and friends or whatever, and you're like, you know, if Muhammad Ali was in his prime and he was in front of me right now, I'd be able to beat the hell out of him. Like, even if you were like a, like even if Brock Lesnar or someone said something like that, right? Yeah. But when does someone who talks that way ever give the impression to other people that they're cool? Never. All right? It's always like the, yeah, I could totally beat up that dude kind of guy, even if it's true. The guy who can beat up another dude shouldn't talk that way.
Maybe to an 18-year-old.
Yeah, but as a grown-ass man. you ever sometimes meet some grown-ass men who missed a couple steps of development along the way, and they still talk in that way, and you're like, whoa, you're older than me, and you're like, you're on a 16-year-old status here, right?
You're out there on the edge.
So at what, like, at when do you ever come off sounding cool or right when you say, like, oh, yeah, I totally could beat up that dude. Totally.
To be fair, I could probably beat up Bruce Lee.
Now you could, definitely.
Yeah, I was going to say, post-1973.
Yeah, he's not much right now.
Got it covered. Covered.
Easy. All right.
You got it figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next question.
Got the game plan. All right, next up, got my man, my guy.
My guy?
LaDuche. Guy LaDuche.
Okay.
Hopefully I got that right.
Guy LaDuche.
Guy LaDuche.
How's it spelled?
It doesn't matter.
Spelch.
Let's not even go there.
LEDUC. Now you see.
Okay. Question.
Please talk about Chu Shang Tin lineage. That's not a question. That's like a. That's like say something.
Yeah, I always love to say some shit.
Say some shit.
Hey, Kung Fu Genius, talk some shit. Say some shit. Here's the mic.
These are good. These are good too. These get in there in the fold somehow.
I don't know much to say. I'm not an expert in Choi Sung Tin's lineage. So I
Choi Sung Tin.
Very early period student of Grandmaster Yip Man from Restaurant Workers Union.
Yeah.
The King of Sunam Tao was his title. All right.
Oh, I remember this guy.
And had a had a nickname from Sifu Yip Man called him Dai Ming Sing.
Dai Ming Sing?
Yeah. The big celebrity.
Mm. Oh, word? That's what that means?
Yeah. and
it's like almost
I mean, he was one of the guys who was around from the very early days. Mm. And obviously a very senior student of Sifu Yip Man. At one point, he even traveled to Germany with Sifu Leungteng. Sifu Leungteng brought him as a guest over there. And he's got lots of followers, especially in Australia, via Jim Fung, who was one of Choi Shung Tin's students, who taught in Australia. Very professional. I think Jim Fung, unfortunately, all passed away even before his Sifu Choi Shung Tin did. But Jim Fung, somehow, he taught in Australia. And he was able to get state accreditation for his schools, like as an educational institution. So like if you got like a instructor's diploma, I think, in Jim Fung's Wing Chun school, that was like the equivalent of some kind of a physical education diploma or something like that. Like he was able to make it like that legit. And he had a number of schools in Australia, very professional, so like really quite remarkable work. So Choi Shung Tin's lineage was very strong in Australia through Jim Fung and his students. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how big it is in Hong Kong nowadays, but there are some Choi Shung Tin people throughout the world. I don't know that much about, like, I have some stories told to me from other students of Grandmaster Yip Man. I don't really feel at liberty to talk about. And I'm not saying because they're negative. I'm just saying like I just want to be careful about saying stories that other people told me because I didn't get the permission to tell those stories. And I want to be very respectful. And I'm not saying, and those are not bad things. And it's not like I heard bad things about them. It's just that they're stories and these are concerning people who passed away. So you always want to be a little careful about those things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Choi Shung Tin was a very well-respected student of Gramsci Yip Man. Mm-hmm.
Dope. All right, next up, we got a couple people asking the same question. So I basically merged it.
All right? Merged it.
Merged
you
the
combine
question.
Their questions like Voltron.
Yeah, that's how we got to do it, man. Got to, you know, cut corners. Love the episode, Crazy Yip Man Stories. Is the episode he's talking about, right?
Do we have a crazy Yip Man Stories episode?
Something like that.
We talked about Yip Man Stories in an episode, but I don't think that was the whole episode.
That was, yeah. Right. Keep up the great work, guys. I love that. You got it. Question for KFG. What is... Oh, by the way, it's the Shadowmancer 101 and Luis Cruz.
Okay.
All right. What is the infamous JCVD story?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Was it in Xinhua or another Cha Chan Ting? Big love from HK. And then Luis Cruz asked, please tell the Jean-Claude Van Damme story. I have not heard it in any of your previous episodes or previous videos, bro.
They've nailed us down to tell the Jean-Claude Van Damme story.
Coming out of the traps early.
Oh, man. After the emotional roller coaster that was my war with Siva Lengting in this episode, now I got to relive this. Well, this is a special story.
This is two people.
Well, this is a special story because you are part of this story as well.
How?
What do you mean how? You know you're part of this story. You're the funniest part of this story.
No. Excuse me. A reenactment.
We can do a reenactment, all right? So, okay. And Shadowmancer asked if it was at Choiwa. Remember Choiwa? We went to eat at Choiwa a few times.
That was
times,
the right? restaurant.
Yeah, which is a Cha Chan Tang. Cha Chan Tang is basically it means like a diner, all right? Where they have both kind of Western and Chinese style food. But no, it was not a Cha Chan Tang where we saw Jean-Claude Van Damme. It was actually, if you remember, it was a seafood restaurant where we went to, right? Which was in Jim Sa Choi. Well, that, so, okay. So that's kind of a funny story, all right? It's a funny story, and it's also not a great story It's a funny and it's a disappointing story, all right? So, okay. So, like many people who grew up in the 80s,
yes.
all right? So for some of our newer fans, which I don't think we have any, like younger fans, I should say, they might not get it if you didn't grow up in that time period. And if they're older, they might have missed the Van Damme train, all right? So, but if you were in that pocket where you were like... an impressionable boy in the 80s.
Yeah, I was like 5 or 6 by the time the 80s hit.
Right. When Van Damme came around, Van Damme was a big deal.
It's the kicks. I remember
Bloodsport when it came out. It was everyone was talking about Bloodsport. And we would go to the video store. You remember the video stores back in the days? They would have, like, in the release, they would have 20 copies of that thing there because they were flying out. Every time I went there, all 20 of them were gone. They were already rented. Right. And my dad would take me there, like, every day because there was one by where we used to go. And I'm like, I would go, is Bloodsport in? Nope. Bloodsport's not in. Maybe it comes in tomorrow. Right? Next day, Bloodsport wasn't in. I was like, right? And it was like, I remember weeks and weeks and weeks, and then Bloodsport finally came in, right? And I just go home, I have VHS, looking at the VHS tapes, Bloodsport on it, right? And you put it in there and watch it. And Bloodsport, just, when you were like, so with Bloodsport came out, what, 87, 88, something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like 10 years old, 11 years old.
Very impressionable.
Dude, all right?
At the utmost level. That movie.
All right? Like, when you're 10, 11 years old and you watch Bloodsport, that's it, right? That's like the Holy Grail.
You just want blood.
You just want blood.
Yeah.
The fight, everything's great. Like, the whole underground tournament, it's like perfect for that market, right? That 10-year-old market, it's the perfect movie, right? And so I watched that movie and I was like, oh, it's amazing. Like, Kickboxer came out, and Cyborg, and like, oh, Van Damme is awesome, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been a fan since very early on. And then... you know, fast forward to recent years, I follow Van Damme on Instagram.
Yeah.
He's very fan friendly. So he always posts, like, he's got, like, on Instagram, he'll have, like, his fan of the day. And, you know, he'll be in the airport and some fan will come up to him. And he always goes out of his way to take photos with fans.
Aw, that's sweet.
And I knew this.
That's so sweet.
Before we ran into him. I knew because I was already following him on Instagram when we were in Hong Kong.
I didn't know about that.
That was 2018 when we went to Hong Kong. Yes. All right? So I was already following him on Instagram and I knew that he was a very fan-friendly celebrity. I also knew that he also lives in Hong Kong. So from what I understand, he basically splits his time between LA and Hong Kong, but he fell in love with Hong Kong when he shot Bloodsport. Mm-hmm. So he's got a place there. I think there in Tsim Sha Tsui. I'm not going to... I know the building where he lives. I'm not going to give that away.
Like, but right upstairs or something, right?
Well, of course, upstairs. He's not downstairs. He's Van Damme, right? He's not in the basement of some seafood shop. So, but anyway, he lives like in a kind of a nice spot over there, right? Mm-hmm. So... you know, I always thought in the back of my mind, because I go to Hong Kong 1 to 2 times a year, at least in pre-pandemic times, that the likelihood, because of my circle of friends and the fact that he lives there, that we would run into
a few people that you know, too.
Yeah, that we would run into Van Damme, the likelihood was kind of high. Like, it was just a matter of time. It's statistics, right? So, it was our first night in Hong Kong. First or second night?
It's about the second.
Second night, right? Yeah. So you guys were still adjusting to the time, and I brought you guys to the Kowloon Sai Pier Chim Sa Tsui, right?
This was the same night we saw 50 Cent.
That's right. So we were there. You see, we saw the at nighttime. I did the touristy thing with you guys. It's your first time in Hong Kong. Like, the skyline at night is very impressive.
So dope.
They have all the places there that take the photos, you know, in front of the skyline. And then we saw one of those vendors that had a photo of 50 Cent. Which was amazing because the lady working there clearly had no idea that 50 Cent was a famous rapper because she had the photos of all these like Western couples that got photos. And 50 Cent was like at the bottom.
Yeah.
So for her, it was like just some random black dude who got a photo.
And
we were looking through and we're like, yo, dude.
What?
50 Cent. That's 50 Cent. And he was just like there in the corner. It's like, yo, 50 Cent. It was so crazy. We just thought that was the funniest thing, right? And 50 Cent did the touristy photo thing. And he was also by himself. He didn't have a crew. It's like he's just hanging out by himself, right?
He definitely pranked it out with that one, I think. I think he probably told her, put mine in the bottom.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, that was kind of the beginning of what would become kind of a silly night, right? So then after that, we're like, hey, you're a little hungry. Let's go get something to eat. So I knew this great restaurant there in the Chim Sa Tsui area, seafood restaurant I've eaten there before. And so I'm like, let's go to this spot over here, right? So we start walking up towards that spot. And as we approach Antonio, he goes, hey, Sifu, isn't that Jean-Claude Van Damme over there, right?
Right.
And we peep Jean-Claude Van Damme. Antonio's on first. And we peep Jean-Claude Van Damme in front of the restaurant having a conversation with someone.
Yeah.
Okay?
We can't really say what kind of someone.
I'm going to try to tell this story in as diplomatic a way as I can. All right?
It was a someone.
I don't want any beef with anyone. No. All right?
We don't need to go into any
descriptions. Don't even keep talking about that right now. All right? You need to stop talking about that right now.
No description needed.
Jean-Claude Van Damme was outside the restaurant having a conversation with someone. Yeah. We'll leave it at that. Okay? Does it...
What's it?
Right there.
He had a different type of demeanor, though.
Let me tell this.
Might have been an argument.
Hey, let me tell the story, because I don't trust your ability to say things in a somewhat diplomatic way. All right?
Damn.
So I was like, and in that moment, I turned into a 10-year-old fan. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme. I need to say something. He's a fan-friendly celebrity. When are we going to have... And plus, I was there with you, and Arnell was there.
Arnell was with me. We were kind of in the back. We didn't even know what
all
was happening.
All of our boys were there.
So we're like, in the rear. We were still bringing in the rear. We didn't even know.
So I'm like, this is perfect. Yeah. We're all here.
Yeah.
Okay? So I decide I'm going to go up to him and say something. And then you ever say something weird, and you realize that's the first time those words have ever come out of your mouth in that order in your entire life?
Put zero thought into
it. Like, well, not even that, but just like sometimes you realize in your entire life's experience, you've never said certain words in a certain order, even though you may have said all of those words at some point in your life. But in that exact order, those words have never come out of your mouth. And the moment they come out of your mouth, you realize that. You go like, geez, I've never said that before, and it feels awkward.
I had
one of those moments then and there.
Oh, no.
I walk up behind him. I don't tap him on the shoulder because I don't want to, like, freak him out or anything like that. And I say these words that have never come out of my mouth in this order in my entire life
since.
I go, excuse me, Mr. Van Damme. Which, like, the moment it came out, I realized I've never said, excuse me, Mr. Van Damme before ever in my life, right?
Oh, no.
And he turned around, and one could only describe his state as inebriated.
All right.
I'll leave it at that.
No.
He looked at me. I should say he looked through me and around me. As if he was having a hard time focusing on me.
Oh, man.
And he waited for a moment as he focused. Of course, the whole time I'm looking at him, he's standing right in front of me, like closer than I am to you right now.
None of that 6 feet distance.
Yeah. And the first thing I remarked is, well, he's not as big as I thought he would be. Oh. That was the first thing I remarked, because you remember, like, you know, the muscles from Brussels.
Yeah, yeah.
I just imagine him like stouter.
He's like 5'7" and a half.
You know what? He's not that tall, and he's not that big. I remember seeing him and just going like, well, he's not like this physically imposing dude I thought he would be, right?
All right.
Not at all, which was shocking, right?
Yeah.
And while all of this is going through my head, he's like trying to focus on me. And he just looks at me and he says, maybe next time. And turns around and proceeds to have his conversation with whoever he was talking to before, right? And I was gutted.
Oh.
Because it was like, he's fan friendly. I knew that. This was my one shot. And that was it. And so I was like, oh, man. I was so dejected.
So we
walk into the restaurant with our tails between our legs. And I text one of my friends who knows Van Damme personally.
Yeah.
Okay. And this friend of mine says, I'll give him a call and tell him who you are. And in my mind, I'm like, that's right.
Yeah.
You tell him who I am.
Yeah, because
you tell him that was the Kung Fu Genius that he just blew off there outside of the restaurant, right? You let him know that wasn't just a normal fanboy, bro.
No.
That's the Kung Fu Genius, bro.
He needs to get on it.
All right? You need to get on that shit, right? That guy's going to have 5,000 subscribers on YouTube one day, right?
Right.
So anyway, we go back into the restaurant. Mr. Van Damme goes back into the restaurant, sitting a little further away from us.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And after I had texted my friend.
I remember this part.
I can hear Van Damme's phone ringing. So I know my friend is trying to call him.
But he's not answering.
And Van Damme's not answering. He's just like, nah.
It just keeps ringing.
Just, nah. Not this guy. Boom.
Yeah.
And he doesn't answer, right? And then I get a text back from my friend. He says he's not answering his phone. I'm like,
we kind of know.
We're here. We see what's going on. And he asked me, oh, who is the person that he's with? And so I described that person.
Yeah.
And
to a
T? No, just enough. And then I'm just going to leave that at that. All right. And then so we felt kind of dejected and perhaps a little bit snubbed by Van Damme.
A little snubbery.
So we pulled out the phone and made a video, which I post that video like once a month on my IG. I always say things like, never forget.
Yes.
And it's you and me in that restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're making an observation.
The video, so you're looking around, you're looking at Van Damme, and you go, Van Damme is at the restaurant.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and the video pans to me, and I say, and he's high as fuck. And you go on and laugh so loud that every Chinese person in that restaurant just turned their head.
Even
like,
Van Damme kind of was like, what the hell is that? What the hell is that laugh?
And so Van Damme's not in the video. He's off camera.
Yeah.
But that video for me is one of the funniest because it encapsulates what happened that night. If you follow me at the Kung Fu Genius, or if you follow my personal Instagram,
like 7 times,
once a month I'll put it, I'll post it. Never forget. So that is unfortunately my Van Damme story.
Oh man, classic moment in time.
Yes,
in KFG time.
KFG time.
Oh man, thank you, thank you for that.
Absolutely,
thank you for that experience.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I, in hindsight, I wouldn't have wanted to experience that with anyone else. That was a perfect storm. Because, you know, and maybe the story doesn't come off quite as funny when I tell it on the podcast.
Mm.
But that was, when we were there, shit was hysterical.
And
that was such a great story. Like, if Van Damme is ever going to blow you off, that was the perfect way. It was just funny. It was just great. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Woo. Right. And then we saw him on the way out, too. He was pretty nice on the way out. He was, like, right in front of us.
I'm under the impression he had completely forgotten about his previous encounter with us by the time we left.
Right. Yeah.
He probably had no idea.
Yeah. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Pretty fun night. Next up, we got Quan.
All right.
Quan. Okay. What's a Dryzen question?
Isn't Dryzen the one that's supposed to ask Dryzen questions?
This is a Dryzen question, he says. maybe he knows Dryzen personally.
Or maybe he is Dryzen. It's just another account. We have to figure out who Dryzen is, man. This has to happen
in season 2.
I've got a pretty good idea who Dryzen is.
Yeah, you got a pretty good idea?
Yeah.
I still have the slightest clue.
You have the slightest clue.
I mean, that dude who
but you know what? Honestly,
here,
that's all you really need is the slightest clue. You don't need much more than that. Yeah. Yeah.
Slightest clue could sometimes be spot on. All right. A Dryson question. Hypothetically speaking, you are walking, he's talking about you. You are walking into your school.
Okay.
City Wing Chun. All right. That is your school.
Yep.
When you enter the school, all of a sudden, you are transported to a mysterious room. You look around and you see a calendar and it says the year 1964.
Okay.
You also see a book on a table that says Jun Fan Gong Fu.
Uh-huh.
You cautiously walk further and peek around another room. You see a young Bruce Lee and his entourage and a young Wong Jackman.
Oh, here we go.
And his crew, surprisingly.
Uh-huh.
You know what's about to happen. Also, you happen to have your cell phone with you.
Oh, here we go.
What do you do next?
Oh, I'm filming that shit. I'm filming that shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend all my time showing it to some people.
Uh-huh.
But I will never release it.
No.
Someone's got to pay for that.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I'm selling that.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm selling the most comical fight you've ever seen, which is Wong Jackman running away from Bruce Lee and then tripping.
Oh.
All right?
Mm. Damn.
No, I'm definitely filming that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guarantee you, if you could watch that fight on video, it was a hot dumpster fire. No, it's a hot. It's not Bruce Lee at the end of Enter the Dragon. All right? It's Wong Jackman running away and trying to stay away from his chain punches. And then it's a guy who wants to beat the other guy up and another guy who doesn't want to be there.
Okay.
All right? And this is not an epic duel or anything by any stretch of the imagination.
Some people might beg to differ.
Yeah.
In the comments, maybe.
Yeah. Except that David Chin, who was in Wong Jackman's entourage, he was one of his boys. He admitted that Bruce Lee beat Wong Jackman. That was Wong Jackman's boy. So the whole thing, it's over. All right? They don't need to contest this anymore.
They don't need to contest this anymore.
All right.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Okay. You can have your own opinions, but you can't have your own facts.
Ow. Ouch. All right. So next up, moving right along. Thank you, Kwan. Or maybe Dryzen. Next up, we got RM Puig. The wooden dummy online tutorial was super cool.
Awesome.
It helped to clear up some questions I had on the choreography of the form. I do have a question for your next KFG episode.
All right.
There are some WT instructors that put a lot of emphasis on the push-pull aspect of the form. I know that the push-pull in some movements, in your opinion, are they going a little overboard with that aspect of the form, or do they have a valid point?
Well, a lot of the movements in the wooden dummy form and a lot of movements in Wing Chun in general have a bit of a push-pull aspect to them, especially obviously controlling movements.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the nature of how a lot of things in Wing Chun work, as well as other Chinese martial arts. I mean, what you often find in Chinese martial arts is people have their little pet ideas and their pet concepts, things that they like. And these could be things that are present in the Wing Chun system, but they like it so much it starts to take over. They do it everywhere, you know? And so that person's interpretation is highly influenced by this one idea, which might be a simple idea or a minor idea, but that person has made it a major idea within their own interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely there are a lot of push-pull aspects in different movements, especially Kaosau, Toksau setup and things like that in the form and stuff. But truthfully, I don't really know what a lot of other WT people are teaching in terms of the forms. All right,
okay.
Because I learned the wooden dummy form directly from Sifu Leung Teng, and I learned it from Sifu Carson Lau, and then I got corrections from Sifu Elman Leung. All right, and then later my Sibak Timi Lee showed me how he does it. Right, so all of my instructors on the wooden dummy were all Chinese instructors, and Sifu Leung Teng was the one who taught me the wooden dummy.
So, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. In 1 week, right? I learned everything so quickly, right? Right? Man, I wish it would only take me 1 week. I would have saved so much money. I would have saved so much money. More money than switching to Geico. So, so I don't know what, like, some random... There are lots of WT Sifus out there. Lots of guys in Europe. Lots of guys... I don't know what any of those guys teach. Because maybe I come off as a bit of a snob, but, like, I learned from Sifu Leung Ting and from Carson Lau and Elman Leung in Timi Lee. And I've also done with some other high-level masters from Europe. Like, they've shown me what they do. But what Sihing XYZ in Tennessee teaches, like, pardon me when I don't, like, totally get excited and pay attention to that, right? You know what I mean?
Sifu XYZ.
Exactly, right? Name. So Sifu XYZ sounds like, it's like a DJ name.
XYZ.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know really who is teaching what as far as that stuff goes. I just know what my instructors have taught me.
Okay. Push pull.
All right. Do we have one more?
Yeah, okay. We do.
All right. Yeah. What do you got?
We got Mo Howard.
Mo Howard.
Yeah.
From the Three Stooges.
Yeah. He's up in the mix.
I thought that guy was dead.
Oh, man. He made it in.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard about the fight between Bruce Lee and Travador Ramos?
Uh-huh.
Allegedly, Ramos is the only man to ever defeat Bruce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
His story reads like Frank Duke's story. Like a Frank Duke story.
Dukes.
Yeah,
not Deuce. Did you say Deuce?
Deuce. Sounds like lazy pronunciation.
That sounds like your rap name, Frank Deuce. Frank Deuce from the Deuce.
Yes, yes.
From 42nd Street.
Yes.
Yeah.
40 Deuce. Just wondering if you heard about it, and if you have, what your thoughts were.
Yeah, so I mean, they're all of these kind of, pardon my phrase, these bullshit stories, all right? So this Travador Ramos guy, some martial artist, karate guy or whatever, who supposedly showed up on the set of Enter the Dragon and beat Bruce Lee up, okay? So if I just tell you that story without giving you any other facts, what do you think of that story? Do you think in all of the stories we've ever heard about what happened on the set of Enter the Dragon, that some guy named Travador Ramos showing up and beating up Bruce Lee in the middle of shooting that movie would somehow escape the collective consciousness of everyone who was there? And the only place you hear this story is from Travador Ramos.
Yeah, there's got to be at least, you know, someone telling it. At least one person, because there's a
lot there is
of
one
people
person.
On
His
set.
Name is Travador Ramos. All right? But the thing is that if this guy showed up on the set of Enter the Dragon and beat up Bruce Lee, the only guy to defeat Bruce Lee, all right?
Yeah.
Who else saw it? Do you know how many people were on the set of that movie?
How many?
Lots. You saw that movie, Enter the Dragon.
Lots.
Look, all those extras.
Yeah.
All the stuntmen. All the crew.
But they all wanted to keep it a secret, I'm thinking.
Oh, they all wanted to keep it a secret that Bruce Lee got beat. No one wanted...
Maybe Travador said to keep it a secret.
Yeah, yeah.
To
save
face.
To everyone. Yeah, exactly. Because you know how good people are at keeping secrets, all right? You know how good people are at that, right?
Especially stuntmen.
Yeah, you know what? They did... I read something about conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
On some of the
I
big,
love conspiracy
on
theories.
On some of the biggest conspiracy theories. Because the problem with... huge conspiracies behind government things or whatever. The number of people who would have to keep it a secret for this thing to work. And this is like literally impossible for humans to do. And they said the most well-orchestrated conspiracy based on you know, statistics, meta-statistics, how humans behave, would never last more than 4 years before the jig was up. Because people cannot keep secrets like that. Like, on the most organized conspiracy, like government conspiracy, it would last 4 years on average before someone just spilled the beans on it, right? Okay? So we're meant to believe that some lone martial arts guy showed up on the set of a movie
he wasn't even part of the set. Yeah. Okay, he wasn't even part of the movie.
And in front of extras, actors, whatever.
How'd he get in?
Beat up Bruce Lee. And no one saw this.
How'd you get in, Travador?
Yeah. All right?
Honey,
it's also like there's that phony who, you know, Bruce would do that demonstration at tournaments where, you know, you had to hold your hand up there and he would go and kind of flick you. You had to block it or whatever.
Yeah.
One of those guys, like, he couldn't stop Bruce's from tapping him or whatever. And then later he said he defeated Bruce Lee in an actual fight.
Okay.
And it's like, you're the guy who couldn't stop his punch there. And he's literally saying, like, at that moment, that's when he defeated Bruce Lee. Like, just delusional-ass people.
Yeah.
Delusional-ass people. Oh, man. All right? Yeah, I mean, think about it. Look, it's not that Bruce Lee was unbeatable or that maybe someone, maybe especially in his early days, had not beat up Bruce Lee or something like that. But this idea that at peak of Bruce Lee's fame in Enter the Dragon, someone shows up and beats up Bruce Lee in front of a bunch of other people and no one says anything about this except the person who's claiming the story. I'm sorry. Get the fuck out of here. All right? And that's all I got to say about that. All right, well, I hope you liked that episode of The Kung Fu Genius. As always, don't forget to write in the comments below any questions you have for a future episode. Like the video and subscribe to The Kung Fu Genius and hit that bell for notifications. And as always, I'll see you guys next time. Word is I'm a Kung Fu Genius. Technique speaks for me, not lineage. Forget Jet Li, cause I'm the one. Many call me Sifu, but to you I'm Seagung. And I produce masters, you surpass us. Your Kung Fu stiffer than corpse and caskets. City Wing Chun is the house I built. Violate the gate and your blood gets spilt. Alex Richter, always the victor. As always, don't forget to write comments below. Like the video, Don't subscribe.
I was going to say don't forget.
Don't subscribe.
Oh, all you guys.
Don't smash the subscribe button.
Yeah, don't follow us.
No, we don't want that
yeah,
shit.
We don't want you.
We don't need.
I'm kind of sick right now, all right? Take it easy on me, all right?
I know.
Oh, he's kind of sick.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this, like Travador Ramos.
I'm going to murder you, Trey.
Someday.
Going to use my fists and murder you.
No weapons.
No weapons.
No implements. I'm going to murder you with my fists.
Yes.
Slowly.
Best way.
All right, everyone. Well, I hope you like that. Is this on? This doesn't sound on. No, I literally cannot hear myself in here. All right? Are you sure though? Stop. As always, don't forget to write your questions below for future episodes. Like this video and don't forget to say, what the f*** did you just do?
He did. He hit the thing and blamed it on me.
Because you laughed at it. I would have played it off. No one would have given a shit. Andrew could have taken that little sound out.
Sound will forever echo. That's the best sound ever.
All right, everyone. Well, I hope you liked that episode of The Kung Fu Genius. You laughed on that one. Get out.
I didn't laugh. I was smiling.
Get out.
I was smiling at the fans. All right, peeps. What the fuck is that, man?
What was that?
What a dick.
The genius will be answering all sorts of hot
you're gonna get that dad joke. You know, Dre, I'm very sad right now. I had to break up with my girlfriend, who's cross-eyed. We just couldn't see eye to eye. And you know what? I was pretty sure she was seeing someone on the side.
You keep that in the pocket.
That's a good one.
That's a good one to pull out the pocket.
Yo, Van Damme is at the restaurant and he's high as
Ow.